You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Monday, the 3rd of December. We've got two jumps meetings and a flat fixture to look forward to live on Racing Radio, getting underway at 5 past midday. My name's John Gibby and Alistair Jones is with me. Hello, Alistair.
Hello, John.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
A couple of days on Racing Radio for you over the past couple of days on the weekend, and you've picked... Well, have been picked for quite a good 2 days of action.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Hennessy equals Ladbrokes Trophy now is one of my favourite races of the whole season. Great weekend, plenty of Cheltenham pointers, and it was something to savour. Indeed, at Newbury, Newcastle, and indeed at Fairy House on Sunday. Cracking stuff all round.
Well, we'll start by taking a look back at Saturday and the Grade 1 fighting fifth served up a spectacle at Newcastle. And it was Boob Adair, the two-time champion hurdler, who came home in front for Nicky Henderson. And Sam Crowe, of course, the Irish Raider, now yet to win in his previous three starts ever since coming out of a novice company over hurdles. But, you know, a lot of people talking about Sam Crowe. I think we're in slight danger of detracting from the winner, who has proven a lot of people wrong in saying that he's been a weak winner of the champion hurdle. He's now come out and won all these Grade 1s. And if he can win a third in March, that's got to elevate him to an even higher status in terms of hurdlers that we've seen over the past few decades and indeed of all time.
Absolutely, yeah. To win two champion hurdles, you've got to be seriously talented. To win three, then you're rightly considered a great. And I think Boob Adair, you know, this horse hasn't been beaten in like 2.5 years now. And what he did yesterday is, you know, he really did stamp his authority on the division, and I think everybody else is going to be absolutely scared stiff. If the same Boob Adair turns up at Cheltenham in March that ran at Newcastle yesterday, under, you know, if he was ever going to get beaten by Sam Crowe or anyone else really, then he was at his most vulnerable at Newcastle on horrible ground there, you know, and it's a very stiff course. Is Newcastle, and you know, Cheltenham suits him down to the ground. He jumped well apart from the last flight, you know, he just moved like the champion he is, and I think William Hill are even money now for the champion hurdle, and who could argue, you know, he's absolutely rock solid.
A lot of discussion about Sam Crowe after the race, as I touched upon, talking about stepping up in trips, ending over fences. I think for me, the hurdles fences thing is a bit of a false front when it comes to the conversation about this horse. I think surely the main thing is just stepping up in trip.
I think you're right, but there's at the end of the day, if you know, everybody wants to win at Cheltenham, and there's just no race for him there. I don't think they're going to bottom him out and run him over 3 miles over hurdles when everything is basically being geared towards, you know, Cheltenham, you know, fences, winning the Gold Cup, you know, long term. That is the ultimate objective for this horse, and I just don't see him being kept over hurdles and running at 3 mile in the World Hurdle or the Stairs Hurdle. So I think if they, you know, they're adamant they're going to stick to hurdling, if that's the case, then he'll turn up in the champion hurdle in March. He won't beat Boob Adair. I don't see that. But saying that, you should never be scared of one horse. You know, Boob Adair might get interfered with, might make a mistake, might just be off his game that day. Who knows? And, you know, people are sort of saying, well, they're disappointed with Sam Crowe. You know, this is still a seriously talented horse, you know. And it's just the fact that he's been so overhyped that, you know, we treat a defeat as disappointing. And yet, if you actually pick the bones out of that performance yesterday, it was perfectly good.
That was Newcastle, the fighting fifth. We'll now move to take a look at Newbury, the race, of course, that used to be called the Hennessy, and now we call it the Old Hennessy. There we go. That's how we refer to it. And Sizing Tennessee was actually quite an impressive winner by a wide distance for Colin Tizard. He trained the 1-2. Last year, okay, he had the Gold Cup winner, but for a lot of the season prior to that, it felt like Colin Tizard was maybe just falling short of his high expectations. Then he had a good Cheltenham, and he started off this season with a bang as well.
The Tizard Yard, absolutely, yeah, and to have the first two in the old Hennessy, is some achievement. And you know, again, everybody's sort of knocking the race, saying it wasn't the best renewals, and you know, size in Tennessee, you know, doesn't fit the profile of a typical Hennessy winner. You know, he's a 10-year-old. He's the first 10-year-old or the first horse in, you know, double digits age-wise to win the Hennessy since Diamond Edge. You wouldn't remember, I don't think, but back in 1981, who was a genuine Gold Cup horse, you know, he's a wonderful old stare Phil Corbin used to train. So he doesn't fit the bill of a typical Hennessy winner, but I'll tell you now, that was strong form yesterday. You know, Elegant Escape, he's beaten the right horse, a horse who ran really well in the RSA Chase from last season, and they were strung out, you know, like washing. They went a hell of a gallop. Everything got out of its comfort zone, and this horse, you know, just absolutely bounded clear. He's always had flashes of very good form. You know, he was a decent novice. Never, you know, he's never quite the full ticket, but he put it all together at Newbury on Saturday and showed what he could do. And, you know, I don't think that'll be the end of this horse winning a big one.
Okay, well, that was the old Hennessy. And we had more Grade 1 action on Sunday when we had the Hatton's Grace at Ferry House. It's one of three Grade 1s I've actually got on that card. But this was the feature attraction, and Apples Jade putting in a very impressive performance.
Indeed, yeah, Apples Jade doing what Apples Jade does best, and that's, you know, totally dominating and outclassing horses this side of Christmas. Obviously, it gets tougher during the second half of the season, but she was brilliant on Sunday. I know that, you know, those in behind, it wasn't necessarily the day that matters most to them. You know, Super Sunday, for instance, has run a, you know, he's a big horse and he's run a really encouraging race. I think I'm hoping they're going to go down the Stayers Hurdle route with him. I don't think he's quick enough for a champion hurdle, so I think they're going to step up. I've been tripped. Limini maybe didn't fire as she can, but, you know, let's not knock Apples Jade, who was brilliant over the hurdles. You know, she's so quick at her flights. And I'll tell you now, Andy Holden, funnily enough, sent me a text shortly after the race, and he thinks Giggenstown is sending the wrong horse to the champion hurdle in Samcro. And who would you fancy over 2 miles, Samcro or Apples Jade? I know which one I'd back.
Yeah, no, I think it'd have to be Apples Jade. I mean, she's a very versatile mare, but also, as I was saying with Samcro, I don't think I could have him over 2 miles and a Grade 1 unless it was maybe a very weak one.
Yeah, absolutely. And she's quick. You know, she helped, had no trouble, you know, sitting on with the strong pace on Sunday. And she's just, you know, destroyed them with a, you know, with a turn of foot. And, you know, I think they're a stubborn lot, the Giggenstown outfit. And if they say they're going to go down the mare's route, that's what they'll do. But if she was in the champion hurdle, she'd probably be second best, or the, you know, the principal alternative to the current champion.
Anything else we need to mention from across the weekend then?
Well, there was lots to take on board, wasn't there? Champ was a very impressive winner with a handicap hurdle at Newbury, a horse that I still can't believe he actually won, given how keenly he raced, and to still have the engine to win on that ground the way he did after, you know, racing with a choke out for most of it, I thought was a seriously impressive performance on his handicap debut. He could be a potential lively one for the world hurdle moving forwards. And how can we talk about Newbury without mentioning Santini, who made a hugely impressive debut over fences in the Grade 2. They go to Kempton next. A lot of people have got doubts about him round Kempton, but what I will say is that they get racing a long way out in the better races at Kempton, and as a rule, stamina will win the day. And I think Santini against La Bagawa in the, what, you know, I think he's the Cato Star, will be some highlight over the Christmas period.
Well, we'll turn our attention from the weekend now to Monday, and as usual on the podcast, you've got two selections for us, and I believe they both run at Plumpton.
They do, yeah. Plumpton's an interesting card on Monday. The first two races are going to see AC Milan and, of course, Kalashnikov probably win at very short odds. Neither are going to be betting propositions, but you know, both hopefully will win en route to the Cheltenham Festival in March. But I think there are better investments on the card. One of them will be Royal Claret, a mare of, trained by Tom Simmons in the handicap hurdle, over 3 miles, due off at 1:30. a talented mare, not had much racing. She won over 3 mile one on soft ground at Hereford last season off a 6 pound lower mark, so there's no stamina issues. And the conditions are going to be quite testing, I think, at Plumpton on Monday, so you want an assured stayer. And I really liked her reappearance when going close over 2 mile seven at Chepstow. That was on good to soft ground. She stayed on really well in the closing stages there. Only went down narrowly. I don't think the shorter trip would have played to her strengths, and I think she'll take a lot of beating on Monday.
Okay, and what about the other pick?
The other one, I'm going to take a chance here with Brother Bennett. He was absolutely hammered by Golden Cannon last time out. The last time they met at Plumpton 2 weeks ago. They reoppose in the 3 o'clock. Golden Cannon has gone up, won by 9 lengths that day. It was very impressive, but she has gone £10 up in the handicap. And even a greater concern than that would be the fact that the ground is going to be a lot softer on Monday. You know, she went into that race last time as a maiden who didn't really appear to be going anywhere, so she may have been a bit flattered, and I think she could struggle to deal with the £10 rise on ground that is going to be a lot softer. Brother Bennett was beaten into second, but he's got the £10 pull. He will handle the ground, and I expect him to reverse the form.
Okay, Brother Bennett then in that 3 o'clock handicap hurdle at Plumpton on Monday. You can hear all the action from Musselburgh, Plumpton and Wolverhampton on Racing Radio. It gets underway at 12:05 in the afternoon. Another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast to come tomorrow as well. Join me for that. And Alistair, thanks for being with us today.
Great. Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.